We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome into the LakersNation.com podcast. It's game day. It's Saturday, apparently also Catterday. Studio Stu. Stu the Studio Cat is making his appearance here as we're kicking off the show. But welcome in, everybody. And we've got Lakers Nuggets tonight. Hope you come join us on Playback, playback.tv/LakersNation. Come hang out with us, 5:30 Pacific time. Lakers Nuggets game one. Joining me, it's Don't Call Me Denver, Ron Gutterman, joining the show. Ron, how you doing?
I'm doing great. We said this last time, it is merely a coincidence that my availability lines up with every time the Lakers play the Nuggets. Sure. It's merely a coincidence, and nobody believes that, but I'm just going to say it anyway.
Ron, I mean, just to clarify again, you are not actually a Nuggets fan, even though for this idea has perpetuated that you are a Denver Nuggets fan, you're in their corner, you're hoping they win, all that kind of stuff. That is not actually the case.
No, and for those watching on YouTube, you can see I'm pointing at my wall of Lakers memorabilia. I also have, you know, in my closet about 12 Lakers jerseys. If that's not fandom, not really sure what is. But sometimes, dating back to last year, objective basketball analysis has to win out over my lifelong fandom at some point.
It is not yet I'm still picking the Lakers to win the series, despite the odds. Never tell me the odds. I've got the Lakers winning the series, but we're going to talk about that today. I also want to talk a little bit about Trae Young too, but we're getting more buzz now that the Hawks have been eliminated, that the Lakers could potentially trade for Trae Young this summer. But we're going to get to that in a moment. First, Sean and I have talked about the series a lot. I've spent a lot of time talking about, you know, kind of what I expect to see happen here. Give me your thoughts. What do you think it's going to go down here? Lakers Nuggets round two here.
Yeah, I think, I do think the Lakers are a better team right now than they were when they faced the Nuggets in the playoffs last year. And I know that was the Western Conference Finals compared to the first round. But the Lakers are 24-10 in their last 34 games since February 1st. They're very good. They're a really elite offensive team, and they at times can be an elite defensive team and at times aren't a very good defensive team. Anthony Davis is kind of carrying a lot of weight there. But make no mistake, I think the Lakers are a better basketball team than they were at this point last year when they were preparing for the same matchup. And I don't think the Nuggets are better, but I think the Nuggets are about the same, and about the same is the reigning NBA champions. And I think when it comes down to it, we've seen in the last 2 years, the Lakers Nuggets game script has pretty much been the same their last 7-8 matchups, which is it's a really close battle for about 3.5 quarters. And then the Nuggets just have this extra gear that I don't believe that this Lakers roster has, that propels them through this elite late game execution. They do not turn the ball over. They hit seemingly every shot in crunch time against any opponent, not just the Lakers. And that's why they're the reigning champs. That's why they, in a follow-up, are the 2 seed and are going to have the MVP on their roster yet again. And that's why I think they win this series. I'm picking Nuggets in six. Last year I said Nuggets in seven and it was a sweep. This year I'm going Nuggets in six because, again, I do think the Lakers are better than they were last year, and the Nuggets are not better, but they are the same.
So I've got so much of this series hinging on D'Angelo Russell and what he can provide. I look at last time these two sides played, and that's not to say the Nuggets are exactly the same, because obviously there's some differences, but I thought last year's series was an average D'Angelo Russell away from being competitive. I'm not saying the Lakers would have won it, but it would have been a competitive series had you got an average performance out of D'Angelo Russell, which you did not get. He fell flat on his face last year. Do you think the Nuggets can play him off the floor the way they did last time around?
I do. And D'Angelo Russell has played much better basketball, you know, and yeah, obviously the last 3-4 months, he's been incredible. Like, there's no denying that. I do think I'm more confident in him this time around than I was last year. Last year, I was pretty confident they were going to play him off the floor, and they did. I do think it's a possibility they play him off the floor again. But what I like about this Lakers team better is that they have better options if he is played off the floor. I think Gabe Vincent, obviously still getting into the swing of things offensively, but defensively he is, I think, as advertised, very, very good. Spencer Dinwiddie has obviously been pretty solid, you know, better than could have been expected from a buyout signing. Austin Reeves is just another year better. Like, I think they have better options if he is played off the floor to handle it. But, you know, I have more faith in D'Angelo Russell this time around, but I do think the Nuggets just have all the pieces necessary to get a guy like D'Angelo Russell off the floor because of what he doesn't provide defensively.
How important is Gabe Vincent in this series when we look at, you know, particularly defending Jamal Murray? Is he the guy that could, I mean, despite not being on the team really for much of the season, he wasn't available. Could he wind up being the difference maker on the defensive side of the ball for the Lakers?
Absolutely, because especially Jared Vanderbilt not playing as far as we know. Gabe Vincent is probably the only guy on this team outside of like a really locked in LeBron and obviously Anthony Davis that I think can defend a Jamal Murray ball screen, like that can defend Jamal Murray on a screen from Nikola Jokic. Like, I think he's the only one on this team that can really do anything to affect that two-man game that has been so elite over the last few years. I don't see D'Angelo Russell doing that. Austin Reeves has not shown that he can do that consistently. Spencer Dinwiddie, I think he's been fine, but the history shows that he's not an elite defender. Gabe Vincent really, to me, is that guy that if they need to put a stop to the Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic two-man game, he's probably the only one I think can do it with Jared Vanderbilt out.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a really critical piece for the Lakers if they are going to get this done. Now, I know you're picking Denver. You've got them in six, that they're going to win this. I think, like, if Denver's going to win, I think if it goes seven, it's a tall ask for the Lakers to go win game seven on the Nuggets home floor. That's going to be really difficult. So I think if the Lakers are going to win it, they would have to win it in six. What needs to take place in order for the darkness that has fallen over the NBA to be lifted and the Lakers to get past the Denver Nuggets?
I think if you go back to 2020 when the Lakers defeated the Nuggets, obviously the teams are all completely different. There is very little that is similar about these two series. But I think what the Lakers did against Nikola Jokic in 2020 that showed to be effective was basically let him score as much as he wants, and take away everyone else. And with the Nuggets, everyone else has gotten a lot better since 2020. The supporting cast is far superior to what they had 4 years ago. Right. So I think it becomes even more important. I think if they're going to win on the defensive end, it has to be let Nikola Jokic score at will. If that means he's putting up 35, 40 points a game in this series, then so be it. Just to not let him utilize his best offensive skill set, which is his passing. I think that's the way. Offensively, it's going to require, I think, some pretty great series from D'Angelo Russell, from Torian Prince, from Austin Reeves. It's going to require some pretty good shooting numbers across the board. And I think your cat is agreeing with me as he bumps into the mic here, or he hates me. I don't know.
He's got something to say here. He is all fired up today. He's excited for Lakers Nuggets as well. Apparently, he's on one today. He's like, let's go Lakers Nuggets.
And honestly, like I really do think the Lakers have a better path right now than they did last year. Especially because it's the first round. Yeah. The first round was kind of the only time last playoffs where the Nuggets showed any vulnerability of any kind. When they played, I believe it was the Timberwolves in the first round last year, they dropped a game or two. Like, it was the only time they really looked vulnerable, and it's because they hadn't quite gotten into the swing of the playoffs yet. Like, if they're going to have a chance, it's in this round. I think if they had met in any further round, it would have been no shot for me. But in this round, I do think there is a path to the Lakers winning, but it requires a pretty solid game plan on Nikola Jokic, kind of not letting him distribute, and on the offensive end, just hitting your shots, and you know, D'Angelo Russell has got to be able to stay on the floor in this series.
Yes. Yeah, he's got to be great. You know, I put this stat out the other day that the Lakers in wins, D'Angelo Russell is shooting 45% from three. In losses, he's shooting 33% from three. Like, it's a huge difference. The series could very well hinge on D'Lo and what he does and what he's able to do or what he's not able to do against this Denver Nuggets team. You know they're going to target him. They're going to go after him. I think he is definitely the X factor. In terms of just superstar math, I know last year I went into this saying AD has to somehow production-wise equal out Nikola Jokic. I don't think that's on the table anymore. And AD's had a fantastic season. Maybe he can be 80% of the production of Jokic, and that's just how great Jokic is. I agree with you. I think he's the MVP. The question becomes, can LeBron be decisively better than Jamal Murray? I think that's going to be really interesting to watch, because I think the Nuggets' other role players probably have an edge over the Lakers' other role players. Now, the Nuggets don't have a lot of depth, but their role players all work together extremely well. They all hit shots when they need to. They make plays when they need to, all that. So it's part of what makes them a great team. Can LeBron be decisively better than Jamal Murray? How do you see that breaking down? I know they're not going to guard each other a bunch or whatever, but just in terms of superstar math, I think that's going to matter. Do you think that's something that can come to pass?
Yeah, I mean, I think LeBron in a seven-game stretch can outplay anybody. Like, that's... Yeah. Even though he's in his 21st season, he's 39, whatever. Like, he has proven that when in doubt, he can outplay just about anyone in the world. I think there's probably like three or four players that's no longer the case for with him. Like, so at his peak, if he's really giving his 100% focus, he's probably like the fifth best player in the league, fourth best player in the league. Mm-hmm. So he can absolutely outplay Jamal Murray. I do wonder, you know, like you said, with the depth, is it going to be enough? You know, Jokic is going to outplay everybody in this series. He's the best player in the world. That's just how it's going to be. But yeah, I mean, in terms of specifically LeBron versus Jamal Murray, I do think LeBron can outplay Jamal Murray. I think his floor is probably a little lower at this point than Jamal Murray's floor is. But I don't think we're going to get a lot of, like, if we're going to get a floor LeBron James game, it's probably going to be game one and then never again. That's just how he operates. So I'm not expecting that.
Okay. I think a lot of this is going to come down to the closing stretch of the fourth quarter. It's the way these Lakers Nuggets have gone, games have gone recently, where it gets to the crunch time and then the Nuggets have this surge. Their offense just continues to click. And they go like 8 for 9 on 9 straight possessions, and the Lakers, you know, they convert on 2 out of 10 possessions or whatever, and that's it. That's the game. And at that point, the Nuggets just they coast to a win. That's going to be critical. How do the Lakers get stops down the stretch, and can they also get scores on the other side? That's going to be incredibly important to watch here. It's the Lakers' crunch time execution. Ron, I think the Lakers, they need to win tonight's game. Not just because of the math behind it, not just because of the series and all that, but from a confidence standpoint, I think that winning tonight's game would turn this into, and I'm not saying the Lakers would win the whole series at this point, should they win tonight, but I think it changes the dynamic between these two teams to such a high degree that it would make this a much more competitive series should the Lakers get game one and get that proof that they can beat this team that they haven't beaten in eight straight tries.
Yeah, and this is not to say that the Nuggets aren't taking the Lakers seriously. I believe from all the things I've seen from Nikola Jokic and Michael Malone, like they are taking the Lakers seriously as an opponent. But I do think there is an element of, even though we're taking them seriously, they haven't beat us in 16 months. And if the Lakers can prove in game one that they have the ability to beat the Nuggets, like you said, it does change how they approach the rest of this series. And yeah, I think this sounds weird to say, but like if the Lakers are going to lose game one, you'd almost rather it be a blowout than following that exact same game script. I think if game one follows that exact same game script of it's close the whole way, and then they're within 2 points in the final 5 minutes, and then the Nuggets pull away and win by 12, I think that would be the worst possible outcome for the Lakers, because that is so demoralizing, because you've spent all week prepping for this opponent just for them to do the exact same thing they've been doing for 2 years. So I think you'd almost rather a blowout, because then you can kind of throw it out and say, you know what, not our best, let's re-up for game two, it's fine. But if it's the same game script, then it's, man, we really gave them our all again for 3.5 quarters again, and they won by 10 again.
Well, and I also think, because that's what we saw play out in game one last year, and part of this was it was the Western Conference Finals at that point, but I felt like the Lakers kind of emptied their gas tank in game one, and game one was a disaster in terms of the rotation. The starting lineup was a mess, and I think that really prevented them from winning, but they emptied their gas tank trying to get themselves back into game one. They did, and then they didn't get the win. And at that point, it felt like that was it. The tank was dry. They couldn't really get over the hump after that. So I think there's something to that, too, that, yeah, if you're going to lose game one, and ideally not have it be a game where you got to play your guys deep into the game and all of that. Have it be more of a, hey, we shot terribly. We know we're not going to shoot this poorly again. Yeah. Let's go from here. Ron, before we came on the air here, though, you said something that was kind of interesting. You said that it's actually not a bad thing if, or something to this effect, that it's not a bad thing if the Lakers lose to the Denver Nuggets. What do you mean by that? Obviously, you want to see the Lakers win the series as well. But what is this silver lining that you speak of here?
Yeah, I would love nothing more than the Lakers to go on a championship run with this roster. But I do think that this roster does have inherent flaws on the defensive end specifically, and that is where championships are won. I know that the game has changed so much over the last, you know, however many years. Yeah. But this game, in the playoffs specifically, games are won defensively. And I do think this Lakers team, if their fatal flaw is that they are not a consistent defensive team. They are elite for stretches and then really, really bad for stretches. And even when they were playing their best, the numbers show it was still that way. And so I think, you know, if they win this series and go on a run, then awesome. But if they lose this series, I think, and I'm not the first one to say this take, but I think if they lose this series, it springs the front office to say, okay, what we have is not particularly working, because we are never going to beat Denver with what we have. We are never going to get over the hump of these elite teams with what we have. And so maybe it's time to readjust. And I know the last time this happened, it ended up with Russell Westbrook. But I would venture to believe that they have learned from that mistake and that they would not do the exact same thing again, but instead would actually go for maybe a third star that fits, maybe focusing more heavily on defensive role players instead of offensive-minded role players. Mm-hmm. But I do think it would spring the Lakers front office to not completely tear it down, but shift the roster in a way where you can actually compete with the elite teams. Because I think the Lakers this year proved that they are kind of like among the best of the second tier teams. You know, they're not a Denver, they're not a Boston, but they're kind of on the better side of those second tier teams. Like, you know, the Milwaukees, the Indianas, the Clippers, the Phoenixes, like they can hang with and beat those teams pretty regularly. So they don't need to completely change it, but they need to shift slightly to be a little bit more defensive minded. And I think a loss in the first round would spring them into action. Whereas if they beat the Nuggets and then don't end up winning a championship and lose in like the second round or the conference finals, then it's going to be kind of the same thing of like, well, we're right there. Maybe we just run it back again. And I don't think that works.
I think you're onto something here. And this is something I've been talking about, is that this series, while this is not your ideal opponent, would have rather seen them take on the Thunder, did not believe that was enough to cause you to tank the series against the Pelicans or that final game against the Pelicans in order to maybe beat either the Kings or the Warriors. At that point, it was a toss-up for the Lakers. Maybe beat the Kings. Now we know they made it through. I don't know what's going to happen in this series in terms of the overall outcome. But whatever the outcome is, you're going to get certainty. That's what you're going to gain. Because had you beat let's say you get into a matchup with the Thunder and you beat the Thunder, is that just the you're a bad matchup for the Thunder, or is that a true reflection of the quality of this team? You could flip it and say, well, the Nuggets are a bad matchup for the Lakers. They are, but I think you get a better sense of what this team is, and maybe more importantly, what they aren't. So you're going to know at the conclusion of this series. If you don't win this series, then you know this team doesn't have it. You know, you've lost all these games to the Nuggets. You lost two series to them. You're not on that level, as you're saying. And so that would lead to changes. If you do beat them, you go, okay, why did we beat them? Did we figure something out? Is there something here that's clicked? Have we ascended to a different level? And when you have that answer, then that informs your decision-making this summer, which leads us to Trae Young, because there's still more talk going around about, hey, if Trae Young's on the market, and it seems like maybe it's leaning that way a little bit in Atlanta, maybe. We don't know yet. It's going to depend on what the offers look like. But they're going to trade at least one of DeJounte Murray or Trae Young. I believe that's going to happen. One of those guys will be gone. If it's Trae Young, I think if it's either guy, the Lakers will be interested.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is Trae the answer to the question? Let's say the Lakers lose to the Denver Nuggets, and you're saying they're not, they need to become more defensive-minded. Trae is certainly not that, but is he the guy that they should be going after?
I don't know if he's the guy. Uh-huh. But depending on what the trade looks like, and I assume it would be something along the lines of D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura, and a pair of first-round picks, just throwing something out there. I would assume it'd be something along those lines. If that's the deal, then, again, I don't know that Trey is the answer, but that's an answer. I think it's not bad because what D'Angelo Russell provides you at his best is kind of what Trey provides you every night. Like, Trey Young is, and I'm not like the biggest Trey Young fan on planet Earth, but like him on a normal night is kind of what D'Angelo Russell has been the last 3 months. Like, that's just, that's what he does. And he is an elite offensive player. He is an elite distributor. He is an elite scorer. Like, he is very, very good. And so I think if the trade is that type of trade, again, it's not the answer. I don't know if it automatically vaults the Lakers to championship contention, but it does make them slightly better. And again, like I said, I think the Lakers are among the better of those tier two teams. And if that's the case, maybe slightly better at the top is all you need.
Is it worth what you would have to give up in order to get him? I mean, certainly we're talking about picks, players. I mean, Austin Reeves would probably have to be on the table in a deal for Trae Young. We're probably talking Rui Hachimura. Is that how far are you willing to go in order to get him, knowing that it would probably be maybe not as competitive as a market for, say, like a Donovan Mitchell? We'll have to see how it all develops, but it'll probably be a fairly competitive market to land a player like Trae Young. Are you willing to give up what it takes to get him? And I guess really the question for the Lakers becomes, do you believe you could give up what it takes to get him and still have enough left over to have a competitive team that ascends to that next level?
Yeah, see, I don't know that I go beyond what I said earlier, which is D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura, 2 first-round picks, a pick swap. That's probably like, I don't know that I'm going much farther than that. I don't think I include Austin Reeves.
Okay.
Because at that point, you're putting a lot on Trae Young to kind of carry everything in the Lakers backcourt. And you're also putting a lot on Gabe Vincent to basically hide the defensive mistakes of Trae Young for the next 2 years. Mm. And I don't know that I want to put that much on Gabe Vincent at this juncture, you know, considering he just played 11 games this whole season. So I don't know that I want to go that far. I think if it's D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura, 2 firsts and a pick swap, that's a deal I do. You mentioned Donovan Mitchell. I think, like, in terms of players that I think would be available this offseason, I think that's probably more the guy that I would be really, really excited about, and I think would vault the Lakers to championship contention pretty instantly. That's where I think the Lakers get priced out in a Donovan Mitchell bidding war. I think the Lakers have what it takes to get Trae Young. It's just, if we're going farther than the trade that I said, it starts to be point of diminishing returns.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, are you willing to, if it's, hey, we need more than, I mean, and D'Lo is tricky because he would have to opt into his deal, or you'd have to figure out a sign and trade, which is really difficult to do. Plus picks, D'Lo, Rui picks for, and maybe you're talking about adding in JHS or something like that for Trae Young. But if it comes down to, hey, the Spurs offer is better, or so-and-so's offer is better, what do you do if you're the Lakers? And this is a bigger conversation, obviously, for the summer. But then I also think one of the factors, this is going to be a big topic of conversation once we do get into the summer, because, and we saw it with D'Angelo Russell, the last thing we saw for Trae Young was his Hawks getting bounced by the Bulls. Trae was 4-for-12. He was a minus 27. Like, plus minus is not everything, but good Lord, a minus 27. And here's the problem I have with LeBron is that is not truly reflective of what Trae Young is as a basketball player. We have to remember he is still coming back from an injury and all of that, but 6 turnovers, a minus 27, isn't up to par in a big game. Again, we saw it with D'Lo. The last thing we saw about him from him against in that Denver series was bad, and there was a bunch of D'Angelo Russell negativity the entire summer last year. I think the same thing is going to happen with Trae Young, and the general perception of him in the Lakers fan base is going to be negative because of him being bad in this particular game. So I don't even know how excited fans would get should the Lakers give up a bunch to get Trae Young. Is it, if it's you don't get him, or you get him and you got to give up a little bit more, like, are you willing just to walk away if you're the Lakers?
It depends what the more is. I think if the more is what I said plus Austin Reeves, I'm probably walking away at that point, because I think you can make marginal improvements and sort of run it back and be a good team. You know, I think if the Lakers walk away from a Trae Young or a Donovan Mitchell, or like get priced out in those bidding wars, you know, I think winning a championship next year is probably not going to be very in the cards, but being a playoff team is not in some, like, you know, that's, I guess, fine for now as you transition to kind of a post LeBron era, like that's kind of going to be what it's going to be. But I don't think it's whatever it takes to get Trae Young, I think is my point. Like, I don't think it's whatever it takes. If it's Donovan Mitchell, now I'm more thinking, okay, whatever it takes. Like, you might get priced out even with whatever it takes, but I think you could have that mindset with a Donovan Mitchell, because I really do think that a Donovan Mitchell, Anthony Davis, LeBron James trio as your starting core can win a championship. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think Donovan Mitchell's on another level. I think that now, obviously, he's dealt with some injuries this year, but he would be the guy. Now, of course, these are much bigger conversations for the offseason, and we get into the philosophies of the Lakers in terms of how they're going to build out the next iteration of the team. Let's hope they make a run now. let's hope these are conversations we don't have to have until the middle of June, because the Lakers have gone on a deep run, and at the end, they're hoisting Banner 18. That would be fantastic to see. Ron, starting a difficult series tonight against the Denver Nuggets in Denver, not an easy place to play.
Nope.
The Lakers can get this game, though. That would make this series so much more likely of potentially being an upset. So I can't wait. Ron, always appreciate you coming on and hearing from you. And I know everybody leans into the Denver Ron stuff, but again, just to drive home, you are not a Denver Nuggets fan. You're just trying to use that analytical brain of yours, and you're saying the Nuggets will probably win this thing. I'll vote with my heart. I'm going to say the Lakers get it done in six. I don't know exactly how they're going to get it done, but let's find a way.
Yeah, and you know, don't go too hard on me in the comments. You can, but, you know.
be nice to Ron. Be nice to Ron. All right, I'm going to get into the mailbag in our final segment of the show. But, Ron, thank you so much for joining. We appreciate you.
Yep, thanks for having me.
All right, big thank you to Ron Gutterman for jumping on and talking Lakers Nuggets, as well as the Trae Young situation with us. Now, let's close out the show by getting into the mailbag. Still have a lot of questions, comments coming in about this Lakers series, as well as the win over the Pelicans. Ricky said, very gritty win. Gabe's offense seems to pick up, and his defense is a huge plus. Give him Spencer, chuck 35-foot threes. Dinwiddie's minutes. You know, I think Spencer Dinwiddie has been good for the Lakers overall. I think he's filled in with that kind of defensive role that they certainly needed, but it did seem like Gabe took his minutes, and I kind of anticipate that to continue here in the series against the Denver Nuggets. I think that Gabe Vincent is going to be leaned upon pretty heavily to defend Jamal Murray, so we'll see how that all plays out. And look, as much as people say Gabe was a waste of a contract, he was the guy they spent their mid-level exception on, it was too much money and all that sort of stuff. If the Lakers get by the Nuggets and Gabe Vincent is a big factor in that, in defending Jamal Murray, his contract is immediately worth it. I mean, let's face it, it's worth it. I Could Be Surfing said, need to keep the ball moving. AD in the corner, shaking my head. Vincent needs more minutes because of his defense. I believe we can't survive Torian Prince's mistakes. Yeah, look, the whole AD in the corner offense, it doesn't make much sense. Like, if AD was shooting well from three, that's a different story, because then he's a threat out there. But you're kind of giving your opponent what they want, right? Like, on one hand, he's Anthony Davis, and so you never want to just completely ignore Anthony Davis. But on the other, you're taking Anthony Davis as a true option out of the way. Like, the Lakers don't want to give Anthony Davis the ball out in the corner and have him spot up for a corner three. It's not like he's shooting 45% or something on corner threes. So I don't like that idea. And we see it. It's a clear out essentially, but you're taking one of your best offensive options essentially off the floor when you put Anthony Davis in the corner, unless you're going to generate some action that's going to allow him to cut along the baseline. And the plan is to feed him the ball there. But that's not really what the Lakers try to do. They just move him out to be a floor spacer, essentially, when they do that. I don't like seeing that either. Matty James. So the Nuggets matchup is going to be tough, but I love the way the Lakers have been playing of late. If Anthony Davis plays like he has the majority of the year, I like our chances. Yeah, it's going to be very tough. It's going to be very tough. And the challenge is that the Nuggets, they enjoy some of the same advantages that the Lakers do. When the Lakers start LeBron, who's a big dude, you start Anthony Davis, who's almost a seven-footer. He's got a crazy wingspan. When you start Rui Hachimura, who's 6'8 with a 7'2 wingspan, you're pretty big across those three positions. But the Denver Nuggets are just as big, if not bigger, with Jokic, Aaron Gordon, and then you add in Michael Porter Jr. And the size that he brings to the mix for them. They've got a really big starting group. And so that's part of the issue. It's that the Nuggets, they execute better than the Lakers do. And it's not enough of a styles clash, right? Like if it's Lakers Warriors, say, right? The Lakers might not play as well as the Warriors, but it's possible that the Lakers style, which is very different than what the Warriors employ, might simply be better, right? It's more difficult when another team plays a similar style to you and they're better at it, which is what we've seen so far with Lakers Nuggets. Now, again, hopefully that's not how the series plays out this time around. David said, sucks that our reward for winning is the Denver Nuggets. Way to get the win, though. Yeah, I mean, I would obviously greatly prefer to see the Thunder. No guarantee that the Lakers would beat the Thunder, of course, but you'd feel a lot more confident about them beating the Thunder. Unfortunately, they draw the Denver Nuggets, and maybe this is your best shot at them because you're getting them while you're fairly well-rested if you're the Lakers. And we'll see. You never know. Can't count out LeBron and AD. Tyler said, the Nuggets don't have Bruce Brown anymore, who killed us last year. Yes, absolutely. But the Nuggets also beat the Lakers this year without him. So, but you're right. And that was certainly part of the equation. They didn't have Bruce Brown. Or they don't have Bruce Brown now. They had him last year in the playoffs. Dimitri said, good game. Still have a lot to work on with Denver on Saturday. Yep. Yeah. I'll say this. If the Lakers play against Denver the way they played the second game against New Orleans, the play-in game against New Orleans, they'll lose. They'll lose. You're not going to win with LeBron and AD shooting 33% from three. In fact, if anything, you can say, well, it's fairly impressive that the Lakers beat the Pelicans despite LeBron and AD playing so poorly relative to their standards. MS Highlights said, let's go Lakers. I think we have a good chance against Denver. You know, I don't know if I'll say they have a good chance. They have a chance, though. And I want to see LeBron and AD get their revenge here on the Denver Nuggets. It's not impossible for them to beat this team. It's not. And I think they are the underdog for a reason in this series. They should be the underdog in this series. But you never know. It's why you play the game. It's why you play the game. I think the Lakers can shock the world. And how much fun would that be? Mike said, for all the guff Austin Reeves gets, guff, that's not a word you hear a lot these days. Get some guff. Don't give me guff. For all the guff Austin Reeves gets for his defense, he played solid defense all night. Can't ignore that. And honestly, like as much as we talk about Gabe Vincent on Jamal Murray, it's probably going to be Austin Reeves who gets the initial call there. And he is going to have to be on his A game. He's going to have to be great defensively, which can be a challenge because sometimes it takes away from his offensive game, which the Lakers certainly need his offensive game as well. But we've seen in the past when he has to spend a whole series, say, chasing around Steph Curry, his legs typically get shot and you get a weaker offensive performance out of Austin Reeves. But you're right. He is going to have to, he played solid defense against CJ McCollum. Going to have to do the same against Jamal Murray. Mosin said, let's give LeBron a break on the fourth quarter performance. That charge by Zion and hitting the floor was nasty. You know, that's a fair point. we talk about LeBron looking run down, looking tired. Maybe it's because he got run over by a truck because Zion Williamson, one of the few guys in the NBA who is going to be able to collide with LeBron and leave LeBron hurting. Most guys, it'll be the other way. You know, like, my God, if Trae Young runs into LeBron, Trae's going to go flying the other direction. Zion is one guy where you go, oh my gosh, you don't want that guy to run into you. That was a pretty rough shot that LeBron took. So that's a fair point. Trushan said is a new channel member. By the way, welcome in. And Sean Mills gifted 5 Lakers Nation memberships. The channel membership program, pretty cool. We do, in fact, we did one last night. We do our weekly members only live shows where their channel members get to come on stage with us. It's a great time. Click the join button and see all the perks that the channel members get. Aziz said, watch the Nuggets series back and forgot Lonnie and Dennis got significant minutes in that series. Nothing against those guys, but I'm taking Gabe and Spence over them. I hope you're right. Dennis was really good for the Lakers last season. He was really good. Gabe and Spencer Dinwiddie, if Gabe's at his best, sure, you can make the argument. Lonnie Walker, I think it's close. I don't think I can look at it and say, okay, clearly. Now, maybe their skill set, maybe you could say Gabe Vincent's defense, skill set-wise, is what's going to be the difference maker and is what gives the duo of Gabe and Dinwiddie the nod over Schroeder and Lonnie. And I hope you're right in that. But I'll say in a vacuum, you've got two guys on each side that are pretty similar in terms of maybe their overall value. They're all role players, right? They're all role players right now. But I hope you're right about Gabe and Spence. And then you said, Trev, what's the workout schedule been looking swole, brother? Well, I mean, so I've lifted weights at this point for decades. I don't eat for it, which is why I try to sometimes, but I am not consistent enough in that. And that's why I don't always look like I'm in tip top shape. That's for sure. But yeah, I enjoy lifting weights. I love lifting weights. It's fun. I like going in there and moving heavy things and all that kind of stuff. It's a good time. So especially as I've gotten older and running, which I used to really enjoy running. Running has been more and more difficult with knees and all that kind of stuff. But weightlifting is something that I can still do pretty well. So I've definitely enjoyed lifting weights. And if you're into that kind of stuff too, great. I think it's very rewarding and it's something that can be a lot of fun. Again, what I've found, what's really interesting about I guess bodybuilding, it's nothing that I've ever gotten into. Obviously you guys see me, I drink my sodas and all that kind of stuff, but, is how much of it is really, like, as much as you want us to talk about it's in the gym, how much of it is really on your plate? It's what you eat that determines what kind of muscle growth and development and all that sort of stuff you have, which also translates to these top athletes. What they eat matters so much in terms of how they perform on the court. You know, there's an old story that goes around from the Major League Soccer, the MLS, from their inaugural season, about there was a player who came over from Europe that was a pro, been a pro for a long time, came over from Europe, and they're riding buses at that point. They're playing in like these rinky-dink stadiums, and the league's just barely trying to get off the ground. They weren't sure if they were going to have lights and all kinds of crazy stuff from the early days of MLS. And the guy who'd been a pro for a long time is looking at some of these other guys that are on his team, and they're eating junk. And they make a comment about what he's eating, and he says, well, what I'm eating is why I'm a Ferrari. What you're eating is why you're a pickup truck, or whatever it was. It was something along those lines. And it's so true. Like what the food that you eat is ultimately what determines when we're talking about weightlifting, we're talking about athletics, all that sort of stuff. It makes such a big difference. And so that's something that I didn't anticipate when I first started getting into like weightlifting and that sort of stuff years and years and years ago. And again, I still don't eat for it. My goal is not to get gigantic or anything like that. It's more just to, you know, stay in shape and that sort of thing. But yeah, it's amazing how much what you eat really changes everything. And you guys notice it. Like I am the type of person where you guys can see when I do like a wider shot, I don't consider myself to be overweight, but I'm the kind of person that I carry much of it in my face. So I'll get people saying like, oh, Trevor, you need to go on a diet or you need to do this or you need to do that or whatever. It always shows in my face first. I've got to be really lean for my face to lean out. It's these cheeks, man. It's the way it goes. But I appreciate you noticing there with that comment. I do, lift 4 or 5 times a week, get in there, do something. It's something that matters so much for stress relief, for the mental side of things, just staying active and doing stuff. I've found it to be really rewarding, and I would encourage anybody to find at least one thing that's physical that you enjoy doing, whether it's whatever it is. It can be hiking, it could be running, it could be weightlifting, it could be swimming, it could be whatever it is that you enjoy doing. Pick up basketball, hell yeah, right? I mean, whatever it is, find at least one thing that you really enjoy doing, because it's amazing what a difference that can make on not just your physical health, but your mental health as well. It is so, so important. All right, B said, Rui finishes 5-6 only, pass him the damn ball more. You know, I got asked this on a radio show the other day about Rui, and do the Lakers need to get him more involved? I think that Rui is the guy that is going to really feast when teams are paying more attention to LeBron, more attention to AD. They're trying to shut them down. That's where Rui really gets going, where he's able to sneak along the baseline and take advantage of the other guys getting all the attention and all of that. So I don't necessarily think that Rui is a guy that you have to force the ball to. I think he's more the guy that is going to have a great game when the opponent is trying to stop LeBron and AD. And if the opponent is paying attention to Rui, that means somebody else is open. And now I also think Rui is the guy that you can confidently give the ball late in the clock and at least trust him to generate a pretty good shot with that pull-up jumper that he's got. But I don't think you have to force things to Rui. I think if it's there, great. If it's not there, it's because something else is open. And in that Lakers starting five, if that means Austin's open, if that means D'Lo, if it's LeBron, if it's AD, I'm gladly taking whatever is open in that group. More often than not, it's Rui, because teams are more concerned about the other guys than they are Rui Hachimura. But if it's not, it probably means something else is available. Ray said, bring on the chicken nuggets, 4-2 Lakers. That was my prediction too. Call me a homer. You better believe it. You better believe it. Of course, I'm going to pick with my heart on this one. But I think if the Lakers are going to get it done, it's going to be in six. Winning a game 7 in Denver would be so difficult. Noah, who's a channel member, said, I know it's too early to be looking past the Nuggets, but if we can find a way to get past them, I say it motivates us more and we get number 18. I hope you're right. Obviously, it would be incredible to get to hang banner 18. They actually get to have a parade. Didn't get to do that in 2020. Yeah, that would be, I mean, talking about a storybook ending to the season. That would be fantastic. Certainly not the likely outcome, but that would be amazing. Kostas said, game one is crucial for the Lakers. They'll be rested. And if you want to upset Denver, you need to come to LA with a road win. Agreed. You have to win one of the first two. But I think if you win game one, there's a mental benefit to doing that, because it proves to the Lakers, they prove to themselves that they can beat this team. After not beating them in 8 straight games, that's probably what you need. Yang said, fake injuries at the end to avoid Denver. So you're saying that the Pelicans faked injuries, that Brandon Ingram faked an injury at the end to avoid Denver. I do not agree with that. I'm sorry, Zion Williamson faked an injury at the end. B.I. was coming back from injury. I don't agree with that. If that was the case, then Zion would have played against the Kings, and obviously he did not. So I don't think that's what the Pelicans did at all. Secret AJ man. I like it. Secret Agent Man. You know what I'm talking about? You guys probably don't know that song. But Secret AJ Man said, how do we beat the Nuggets? Sean and I went over that. Sean Davis and I went over that a lot on Friday's podcast. So check that one out. Ron and I discussed it a little bit earlier in the show. It's a lot. It's very nuanced. But LeBron and AD have to be better than the duo of Jokic and Murray. I think that's critical. I don't expect AD to be better than Jokic. That means LeBron has to be significantly better than Murray. And then I think the real X factor, it's D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell has got to be great in order to negate the supporting cast of the Nuggets. Tricksters said Lakers fans act like playoff D'Lo was here after two bad games. Well, D'Lo was amazing this game, and I trust you will ball out in the playoffs. I hope so. He's got a lot riding on this. You know, I think in order for the Lakers to have a shot, D'Lo has to be great. And in order for D'Lo to get the kind of money that he wants this summer, he's going to have to be great, especially against the Denver Nuggets, the team that caused all those questions to swirl about him. And can this guy really get it done? Does he disappear in the playoffs? All that kind of stuff. D'Lo's got to be great against Denver. It's a big challenge. It's a big challenge. And I'm excited to see if he's up to it. I hope he is. He's been great all season. And it would really be a shame because, let's face it, if he's bad again against Denver, everything good that he did over the season would largely get eclipsed, right? Like, that's what would happen. We would just focus on what he did against Denver again. So, fingers crossed. Need a big series from D'Angelo Russell. Lakers Nation, the game is tonight, 5:30 Pacific time. Join us over on Playback, playback.tv/LakersNation. Of course, come hang out with us as well on the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, and the postgame show will be right here on the Lakers Nation YouTube channel. Till next time, everybody. See ya, and stay safe.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.